In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to our series, Treasures. And we are commenting on the Epistle of St. Paul to Romans, chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So when you put the cross on one side, you can see the kingdom of heaven on the other side. The one who accepted to give his only Son to be a sacrifice for human beings, the kingdom of heaven is not, you know, very much precious, because the blood of Christ is much more precious than anything in the world. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? So being elected, chosen by God, why you are afraid of devil, even if you had done many bad things? But with the repentance, believing in Christ, the Savior, he will stand for you. He is the one who is responsible for you. He is the Savior. So, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Any charge he will pay, any charge he is the one who will cover. It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So the one who condemned people, it's the same one who died for the people. So you are not afraid of him. You trust him. You follow him. You stick to him. And he is the Savior. So when he comes to judge, he is with you, not against you. So when you believe in Christ and you stick to him and you follow his commandments, now you are on the safe side. He is the Redeemer. He is the one who will take it. Again, it is God who justifies. Who condemns? Is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So Christ is busy with our salvation. He pushes our salvation all the time. So when it comes to the day of judgment, you are on his side. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The end of the story, nothing can stand before you and Christ. Because of the love of God, no one can push his love away. As far as you accept this love, you love him back, and you believe in him, you cry out to him, you stick to his word, you follow his commandments, you are one with Christ by the holy sacraments, so there is no fear now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness? So whatever happening around us, all the persecution, all the problems, all the hardships, it will not tell us that God just forgot us. No, he loved us because he died for us. And he's doing everything for our good to be saved. So whatever will happen, we accept now, because we are sure that all things happening just for us, not against us. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. So as the prophets mentioned, that the people of God will be in a state of being killed for him all the time. So all Christians are like martyrs. All Christians are persecuted. All good Christians waiting to die for Christ. So whatever stress in their life, they accept, because they are ready even to die for him, because they trust his love and his purpose. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So we consider ourselves like sheep, because he is the perfect sheep who became the sacrifice for our salvation. So we are ready also to be slaughtered after him. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So he conquered death for us. He conquered evil, devil, sin for us. And we are His soldiers, His army, His followers. So we are the conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. So if you consider the angels, the bad angels, which are the devils or the bad spirits, if you consider the future problems, if you just think of death by itself, nothing can stop God from loving us or saving us. So I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, these powers and principalities are ranks of devil angels, nor things present, nor things to come. So whatever happening around or with all stresses, and even the stresses comes in the future, still it had nothing to do with our precious salvation, nor height nor depth. So even the philosophy, the science, the knowledge of people, whatever happening in this world, nothing can stop it. Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing and no one can separate us from God, just because God loved us and He had done everything to save us. Now it's our part to believe in Him, to follow Him, to stick to Him, to unite ourselves with Him, to enjoy His salvation, and to be ready to die for Him and to enjoy His resurrection. I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Why He made this, you know, start in this chapter? Because after He explained the story of salvation, and He mentioned all the gifts given by Christ the Lord, and He made it clear that we should believe in Christ as Savior, and we shouldn't follow the law of Moses in a literal way, that's our way of salvation. It's not anymore the way to be saved. So He wants, you know, to brief it and comment on His Jewish part. He is not against the Jew people. He was not any time against Moses. So He's saying, I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So God see my heart. So what He's going to say now is very true, is very faithful. That I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen. Some people may say that Paul against Moses, or Paul against the law, Paul against the Jew people. So he made it clear, I love these people, I'm one of them. I used to pray for them, I'm praying now for them. I wish if even I were accursed, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. So he's saying that if they accept Christ, and in any way that I lose Christ, I agree because I love them. And these people should be the first people to accept Christ, because they had the prophet. They know the truth in their Old Testament. They were waiting for the Savior. So what's happening in that time is totally against the will of God, because these people supposed to be the first people to accept Him. According to the flesh, countrymen, according to the flesh means the Jew people, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, because they are the sons of Abraham, and Abraham was the friend of God, and these people were the people of God. So they should inherit the salvation coming, but they lost because they couldn't believe. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises? All these related to the Old Testament, the people of God, of Israel,
of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. So he's saying that the people of God of Israel were the best people to know God, but to believe in Christ as the blessed real God, but they couldn't believe in him as God. That's why they lost all these advantages and they lost being the people of God. The people of God nowadays are those who believed in Christ as God, who believed in the Savior, and who were baptized on his name, were becoming the members in his body. But for those who stayed away from his body, they accursed themselves. They separated themselves from God. But it's not that the word of God has taken no effect. It does not mean that all people of Israel will be condemned forever, because his plan, God's plan, will never fail. So he wants these people, and he had promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob for his people. So it's not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Actually, even the name of Israel, not all Israelites were really the sons of Israel or Jacob, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. Not all the people were the seed of Abraham. But as mentioned in the prophets, in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. So God in the Old Testament made it clear that not all people comes out from Abraham will be the people of God, but only the seed of Isaac, the one who came with the promise through faith, through believing in the promise of God. So not all people of Abraham are the people of God. The same in the New Testament, not all those who were offspring of Abraham should be the people of God. But the children of the promise are counted. Add the seed, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. So according to the promise, Abraham believed, Sarah believed, and this belief in the promise gave them Isaac. Isaac, the symbol of Christ, and Isaac came through faith. And he is the one, the seed out of Isaac will be the source of salvation for everyone. So by believing, by following the promise, you will be saved, not by the law. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand not of work, but of him who calls. Because you have, there is a problem here. The sons of Rebekah, Esau and Jacob, there were like kind of predestination here. God showed Isaac and Rebekah that Jacob will be chosen, he the elected one. But Esau will be, condemned and before their birth. And it looks like that God chose before they did anything. But back to what we said about the foreknowledge and the predestination, now we can understand, because God could see the future of Jacob, the one who will repent one day, who will pray and believe in God. But Esau never believed in God. Esau was all with the man of flesh, the man of this earth. He never thought of any future life. He was depending fully on his power. But Jacob knew the way to pray. Although he was not perfect in the start, he was also a sinner. But because of his belief and his repentance and his unity with God in his last days, he was chosen. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. This prophecy was given long ago, but it showed us that this election is related to the foreknowledge, but it's also and mainly related to the will of man. Jacob chose God. Jacob willed to be good one day. Jacob prayed, believed in God, but Esau did not do any of this. What shall we say then? Is there an righteousness with God, meaning that God is not right, is not good, because he chose somebody before he was even born? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So God is merciful. God is compassionate. God wants everyone to be saved. So God never wanted for Esau to be condemned. But Esau chose not to be God's man. And he continued all his life against God. Jacob partially, in his part of his life, was against the will of God. But with trusting God, with repentance, he changed his way and became a good man. That's why, again, the election of God is related to the foreknowledge of God. And the foreknowledge of God will see whether this man chose to be man of God or to stay against his will for all their life. Accordingly, God will say, I chose this man to be my son because of his belief, of his way of life. Glory to God. Amen.